so I have parents that's half Neanderthal, so I still have like his genes where I sweat. And I'm just big no matter what I do. I can lose a bunch of weight, I'm still gonna look big. It's just my curse being a human. My last name is Ewen.
Yes, I keep making that mistake because I've got a few Scottish friends and Welsh friends, and there's a whole mixture of ways of spelling that. Yeah,
I was gonna say it's probably the Welsh. They always are you Welsh? And then they start busting my ass that it's not spelled Ewan.
Yeah. So it's very good to speak to both of you. There's a kind of a nice kind of a group of things to be able to talk about, and it's a really nice catch up. And I wanted to thank you, actually, Douglas, that for reaching out when I became seriously ill, when I had COVID. So yeah, it was nice to see so many messages and that. So yeah, I couldn't read anything. I had no energy at the time, so I really do appreciate it again. So yeah, that was really nice.
How'd you fare through all that? Was it just a quick recovery, or were you down for a while?
It was a long recovery process, but since being in intensive care for 2 weeks, and then I would say it's 6 months, 6 to 8 months after. And again, I don't know, you won't know, Miranda, but I had COVID in 2020, end of 2020, like a lot of people, and I went to hospital on the day I was supposed to get married. So it was for some reason I had this flash of Private Benjamin, you know, with Goldie Hawn, where on her wedding day her husband like has a massive heart attack. So I was like, what's going on? That's what all I thought. So yeah, but yeah, all good now, and just creating more work for myself than I actually need. So and that's what the festival's doing to me at the moment, because I'm just as busy as normal with that, but my regular work level's just kind of gone there as well. So
it's nice to see that you're doing this though, getting it going. Like, what you did you just like wrestle this together, or what happened there?
So the Isolation Film Festival, that started in 2020, and in the same year it did the Hellbound Horror Festival in October that year. Mm-hmm. And then I did the Isolation the year after, but I gave a year gap for the Hellbound because I really wanted to put some more effort into it, and it's so much work. Because I do everything you see, I produce, and then I bring a couple of other people to finish a few bits. And I had to have a year gap, and I'll probably have another year gap before I think about doing it again, because it's just so much work, and everyone else that's involved and the people I kind of bring in for judging, their work just went through the roof as well, so it's kind of tricky to do.
Mm-hmm. You think it's going to be something that's going to be fun and entertaining and take your mind off work, and the next thing you know, you're just swamped, dude.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, when you start an edit or start to write something or do anything creative, oh yeah, I'll do this for half an hour, and then you kind of like playing any kind of computer game or something, you spend 6 hours doing it. So it's I would say on average at least 2 hours every day since the submissions opened. So my wife doesn't like me doing it.
How many films are you watching?
I think we've got 18 submissions so far. But they're only 1 to 15 minutes, so it's not too bad. And there's a whole range of quality. There's a whole broad range.
It's got to be fun, though.
Yeah, it is. Like, the first animation we got from Sweden was absolutely incredible. Like, just blown away by it. And we had like animations from Japan last time, and it's a fun process. And I see you're kind of delving into that yourself in terms of being a program lead or something on this new event.
Oh, I just leave it up to Miranda. I just kind of jumped in to help.
Yeah, well.
So, can you tell me a bit about the genesis of the project? How it started in its original form?
Douglas is the one who reached out to us to do a cool event. We're like a little indie cinema in Northern Ontario, Canada. And we haven't really hit the kind of horror genre cult market. And Douglas is actually living 3 hours away from us in a smaller town. And he found out about us and thought we were really cool, so we wanted to put something on. So he reached out months ago, but to someone else, not realizing that I am a big horror fan, horror fiend, and I've been trying to put some horror events on the map at the cinema. So it's actually just in the last few weeks we've really come together, and we had a deadline of mid-September. And so we've just been working our butts off trying to put something really cool together with a really, really tight timeline. And I think what we've done is actually pretty incredible, considering usually this thing, like things like this, take months and months. Usually you're planning for like a year to get to the next year. So for next year, we're definitely going to start, I think, like September 18th, the day after we'll start planning for 2023.
What kind of, where did your kind of interest in horror begin, Miranda?
I don't even know. I came out of the womb watching horror movies. Like a lot of people will say they have that one horror movie that really made it click.
I'm just picturing you coming out of your mother and like the Poltergeist is on TV or something.
Basically, they had it wheeled it into the hospital room. She was just watching it leisurely. My dad was very into film and just movies. Like all we did until Blockbuster wasn't a thing anymore was we would go every weekend and just rent movies. And so since I was young, I just watched everything and anything. Like as long as there wasn't too much sex in it, he was okay with it. So it's just, and horror caught on. And I feel like as a 90s kid, there was so much spooky kids media out there. There was like Goosebumps, Tales from the Crypt Creeper, there's Mummies Alive, there's just all that stuff. So it's just surrounded by
Eerie Indiana.
Yeah, horror stuff all the time. And it just, I don't know, it just grew. I remember for my 8th birthday, I got Pet Sematary and Pinocchio's Revenge on VHS. Like I was a horror kid growing up. I introduced my
Pinocchio's Revenge.
It's awful. It's terrible, but it's also
what you've done now is I'm gonna have to watch that, and it's gonna go in the show notes so other people are gonna know about that.
Okay, great. I think it's like a 2000s movie. I think it was a brand new release when I got it on VHS. It's fun. Just a wooden puppet going around killing people. You know, stuff you give an 8-year-old.
Amazing.
I think I traumatized my friends growing up. I was the one who was like, 4th grade sleepover, everyone's watching every Freddy Krueger, we're staying up all night and just watching all the Nightmare on Elm Street. So I don't know, I've just from a young age, I've just delved into horror. It's just been my thing forever.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite Elm Street film?
I think like everyone else, I really like the third one, like Dream Warriors, but also New Nightmare is fantastic too, and I feel like a lot of people forget about that one.
Yeah.
I think they're all great. Absolutely. I think even the worst Nightmare on Elm Streets, they're still just so fun. I don't know. They're just creative and fun.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Douglas? I'm not sure if we talked about that too much last time we spoke. How did you kind of get into horror yourself?
Oof. I mean, tons of reasons. I have an older brother. He's 10 years my elder. So he was watching stuff way beyond my age group, so I got to see some things. I remember Friday the 13th, part one, when Jason comes out at the end and tackles on the canoe. That was like my first introduction to horror, and I was like, what is this? And he started showing me all these films. But the same thing like Miranda was saying, I was that kid that just like, a lot of the films I watched, I just found interesting. Like I didn't necessarily think to myself, like, oh, I'm just gonna find the scariest stuff. So when people would come to my birthday parties, we'd be watching these like crazy horror movies. I remember like my 12th birthday, we convinced my mom to let us rent Natural Born Killers when it came out. And I was just drawn to I remember like looking at her face, I still remember this day. And she, before she rented that, she brought us all to go see Howard Stern's Private Parts in the theater.
Yeah.
There's just a bunch of 12-year-olds sitting there just like, but no, when I got
her. That's who Howard Stern was aiming at.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He got our money, dude. It's good marketing. But no, when I got into horror movies, it was basically because of my older brother. And then I started meeting friends in high school that were like really into us. One buddy that just loved Freddy Krueger. I had another friend that just like loved movies in general, but really horror movies and a lot of David Lynch stuff and Cronenberg stuff. And I just kind of fed off them, went through their collections and just watched as much as I possibly could.
Yeah, it's the same thing for me. I've got a brother that's about 12 years older than me. I should know. But he introduced me through VHS's compilations of horror films that he'd put together. I'm sure my dad was selling copies of these horror films at work, where because he used to work in his car factory, and he used to sell pirated films every so often. He's retired now, so the police can't get him, so he won't be worried. But I was introduced to, like, I think it was Child's Play. I think it was the first one or first or second one. But at the time, in the UK, there was a child called Jamie Bulger who was taken onto railroad tracks, a real little boy, by two kids that blamed that series of films for the reason they did the crime. And it was this huge thing in the UK. And it became what was deemed video nasties here. But then when I look back at Child's Play, I absolutely love it. Like, there's a piece of art here that has a lot of kind of horror icons on. I met Brad Dourif once, and because I was a huge fan of Deadwood as well. But yeah, he was the nicest guy, super like quiet, but like super grateful for horror fans. And he said it's the best thing he's ever worked on, even though, you know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and all of that. But yeah, that kind of softened the edges, you know, when you meet these people and that. And yeah, Kruger was the big thing for me, really. And it used to give me so many nightmares. Like, I've been fed my own stomach in my own dreams. So that's when you know it's like, it's kind of, you're watching them at such a young age.
It's funny you're saying, the culture, you're saying me and Brad Dourif. So that's another thing too with horror fans. I find once they get into the culture aspect of horror movies, like, going out to these cons and meeting people, that's when they really become fans of the horror genre based on just wanting to be engulfed in it. That's another reason I got into it. Once I started just finding out everyone loved it, it was like a shared experience. It was awesome.
Exactly. That's the big thing, big takeaway, and why I think doing programming in horror is huge. And it's the banding together. It's the reason Stranger Things is so good, and why The Thing for me is probably my favorite science fiction horror film. Obviously, you got The Grave of Alien. It's because everyone's banding together to survive, and that's what people are doing effectively at the cinema. They're banding together to get through the horror, because so many people just wouldn't watch horror on their own because they're scared shitless. They'll be scared of what they're watching. But there's something that comedy and horror for me are the best things to watch in the cinema. You know, you've got action and all that, but yeah, comedy and horror is the best. Like, when I went to see It Chapter 2, the newest one, and it was just, everyone loved it. And my wife's first name is Vicky, and under the, what do they call it, the bleachers, he comes out of the shadow at one point in part 2, and he says, "Hello, Vicky." my wife was just, like, absolutely crapping it. It was just hilarious. So, yeah, that's why I love horror, and that's why I kind of like the idea that you guys have had, and Miranda, the kind of push you want for your what would you call it? What's the event called?
It's Sudbury Indie Creature Con, but con with a K, so it's sick. We're doing a sick con this year.
Yeah, I love that. That's great branding straight away. Yeah. That really is. So what have you, can you tell us a little bit about it, where exactly it is, and what you've got going on the weekend?
Yeah, sure. So it's happening September 16th and 17th at Sudbury Indie Cinema in Sudbury, Ontario, Canada. It starts on the Friday night. We're going to do a few hours of short films. We're trying to focus on local Ontario Canadian, but then we've also got blocks of international short films. Then we're doing a feature film that night with the main actress doing an introduction at the cinema, which Doug was able to score, which was amazing. I'll get him to talk more about that. The next day we were trying to include some stuff that was more kid friendly and family oriented. So we're actually we're throwing in like a Mario Kart tournament on the big screen at the cinema during the day, which will be a lot of fun with like horror based prizes and all of that. We've got a guest speaker, creature actor coming in to do a panel. And then we've got some Resident Evil voice actors coming in. We're still trying to snag one actor who was in the most recent Resident Evil film, which was filmed in Sudbury, Ontario. That's where Raccoon City was filmed. And then that night we have another feature with another introduction from the director, which Douglas was also able to score. So maybe you can talk about those films. And the
yeah, that'd be great.
Yes.
All right, passing it on to me. All right, so with the Friday night, we have Two Witches. It's the newest film. I forget his last name now, but Pierre, I'm hoping you're going to look this up and correct me here. But it stars Rebecca Kennedy. Are you familiar with Rebecca Kennedy?
I'm sure I've heard the name.
She's fantastic. She's actually, it's funny that she's in horror movies because she's the most unassuming person that you'd see and immediately think like, oh, she's in Los Angeles right now playing on Amazon Prime, where she plays a young mute girl. So she's going to come in and introduce her film, and then her and I are going to make some announcements because we have some exciting news to share as well. And after that, we're going to have, on Saturday night, we're going to have Ryan Kruger's Fried Berry, and he's going to come on over Zoom because he's out in Cape Town. So that's a huge difference, just like you right now, I think. He has 6 hours on us. So he's going to come in and introduce the film. And we have the creature actor. We haven't announced a lot of these things, which is going to pump out next week. So you'll see a lot of these announcements. But we have Matt McCallum coming in. He was in Nightmare Alley, the new Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City. And he does a lot of creature acting and monster acting. And he's going to come in and speak to the crowd about that. And then, like Randa said, during the video game tournament, we have Joe White and Julian Anderson coming in to do the voiceover talk, the Resident Evil characters. Joe did like the old Chris Renfield from like 90s, and Julian was in the new remakes. She was Ada Wong.
Oh, so, awesome.
Yeah, so we have them coming in. And for Sudbury being a smaller Northern Ontario city, it's nice to get something like this together because in Canada, especially in the remote parts of Canada, we're not used to having events like this. There are some fantastic runs that run here in the Sioux. And like for the video game tournament, they do have Northern Gaming Expo already throws one on, so they're coming in. So we try to get other people involved because it's not something that we necessarily want to compete against because there's so few of us. So we thought we might as well all band together and create something big.
That's fantastic. I think it's great to be able to do that, and I can attest to how the satisfaction you get from putting something on and, you know, getting people involved. That's why as soon as I start the process of the festival, and like you guys have started the process of this, it's the build up before you begins the worst thing. Like when you start the process of, you know, making calls to people, getting the program together, coming up with prizes and events, that's kind of, you're on the train. It's like that end sequence of Back to the Future 3. You're on the train, you can't get off, and you're just adding fuel to the fire every so often, you know. But yeah, I think it's absolutely wicked to band together. And how did you two meet? How did you kind of know about each other?
Randomly. It was so like she was saying, you remember when you watch Titan? So obviously I'm a huge, this is why I butchered Pierre's name too. I'm not good with French names. Julia's last name, the director of Titan. But I'm a huge fan. I loved Raw. So I went to TIFF and I saw Titan. And then actually I have a funny story about that. I got shushed, like someone shushed me in the theater during the credits. And I was stunned because I was like, it's like literally nothing's even on the screen right now. And all I said was, oh, this is going to be good. And then like this guy literally went out of his way to walk towards me, stand up and shush me. I still have pain over that. I'm going to go to TIFF every year just to hope to God I run into that guy because I'm going to shush him wherever he goes. But it was playing in this indie theater because I was following Titan. So I was like, where the hell can I watch this movie? Because it's not going to get released anywhere where I'm from. And I saw that it was playing at the Indie in Sudbury. So I was like, awesome. I will drive 6 hours, 3 hours there and 3 hours back to watch this movie. I loved this movie. So I drove there and I met with Beth, who is on the board of the Indie Cinema. Randa runs the whole show behind the scenes here. She's the brains. What's Beth do? She's on the board, right?
She's the director. She's the executive director. So she's not on the board. She's kind of my boss, but I've been running.
She is the board.
Yeah.
But I met her and she was like, you know, showed me around. I was like, man, I really like this theater and I really want to get involved. So I ran for a place on the board and ended up on the fundraising committee. And they had events going that were just more tailored towards just everyday events. Once again, it's not like a huge movie city, right? Like, it's not like New York or Toronto where you can throw something that's very specific in film and a lot of people show up, right? It's, you got to kind of, you know, work with what you got. So we were doing things like garage sales and, you know, things of that nature. And I kept saying that we should throw an event. Like, this would be awesome for like an indie horror event or just showing like B movies on Thursday nights. That just raked in the money. And then actually, then a couple of weeks later, I saw that they were showing Toxic Avenger 1 and 2 back to back. And I was like, yes, whoever's doing this is listening to me. And I haven't met Miranda yet. And then a couple of weeks ago, they're like, we're going to introduce you to Miranda. And I was thinking that it was just going to be another board member that I was very opposite of. So I was like thinking to myself, okay, I'll just, you know, play it safe. And all of a sudden, it's just like, boom, I get to meet this like enormous horror fan that absolutely gets where I'm coming from. So we were like, we'll do it together. We'll just get this done. So we have only been going at it for about 2 weeks on this event, and that's pretty much when we met. So
yeah,
that's that.
Well, it almost seemed like you'd known each other for a long time when I came on the call. So that's good.
So we've been talking a lot,
person.
Trying to set this up.
Literally, I've talked to her more than anyone else in my family. We're literally texting and talking every. It doesn't stop, and this person wants this, or this guest is like, hey, or this one reaches out and they change their mind, like, it gets nuts. And then also, yeah, it's just, we've had to get over that comfort threshold because we don't have time to mess around.
Well, no, exactly.
Yeah, well, this is a good sign, I'd say, for next year as well. Mm-hmm. If you can throw this together in such a short period, and then, you know, you've got a year to plan things, and as long as you're kind of, you know, you kind of reach out consistently over that year period, and then you kind of build it up towards this time. Is it the same time next year?
Probably.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It's kind of dependent on when it kind of falls. Yeah.
Also, in Sudbury, there's like another pretty big northern film festival that plays. Is it that weekend or the weekend before?
It starts on the Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah, so we kind of, you know, kept it all. Everyone's going to be there for that kind of stuff anyways. So it's going to be most likely around mid-September, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, you can build things up to then. And yeah, reaching out and trying to get people for events and to do you favors is the thing I found when I got judges for the first Hellbound Festival was... It was throwing out messages online, emails, making friends of friends, and then that kind of thing. And then it's coming across as honest and getting the information across straight away.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you've seen, I don't know how many times I've been offered to model necklaces on the Hellbound Festival. I get DMs from these awful companies saying, oh, we'd offer you this 20% discount all for my little dog's little neck chief or something, you know, like something for my dog to wear. I'm like, I don't want any of that, and I just delete it straight away. So I basically just started throwing messages out there 2 years ago for judges, and then I've become friends with a couple of big people. So, and it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible what you can get mm-hmm. for nothing sometimes, or just for being a nice person, and you're not trying to get them to read your script or anything like that. And then I ended up with a production designer of Jaws's telephone number for his house, and we had a great chat on the phone, and then we did a podcast recording and all of that. I'm just friends with his daughter, and then when I mentioned his daughter on the podcast when I recorded with him, he opened up, and then I asked him to be a judge. And, you know, it's like just kind of being aware of how things are going whilst you're talking to someone as well. So, and it's a great way to build connections up. And then, you know, if you're creating a film, you could ask them for advice, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think more power to you for doing what you do. Is there anything that, you know, I could do, or any help we could assist on at all? Maybe, you know, for this year or even for next year.
Yeah, well, for this year, that's what I was reaching out to, because Miranda put together this awesome, like, short film block that we're going to have, and we have a lot of Canadian artists And we want to try and let them know that there's more of an international stage that they can present on. And I know that your festival will be 2 weeks following that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping that have something for them to see that they would love to be a part of. So I was really trying to open all these young filmmakers' eyes. I mean, not all of them are just young filmmakers. A lot of them are, you know, seasoned or international as well. But with being in a small northern community, it's nice to know your options are out there. And that's open to you. Like you see, like you were saying, like when you start reaching out to people, you'd be surprised how things work. And that's a huge part of this business is networking and knowing what's available to you. And your festival is absolutely wonderful. And all the times I've ever been with you, talked with you, done anything with you, just chatted over, even about camera gear or anything, it's wonderful. I just wanted you.
It's just like, I think it's because it's mutual respect and respect and friendship and wanting to learn and just absorbing as much as possible. So, you know, it's great that, you know, we can build these connections up, but it's also a friendship. It's also your knowledge base, because I'm learning all the time, whether it's mic technique or lighting or whatever, and how to network. So, yeah, always kind of building up. Is there like a slot of short film stuff that you might need content for? Or?
Oh, well, so... Yeah, like I'm still looking for like a few more films to add to our block, and I'm still waiting on a few more like local films from Sudbury. But if you had anything that you think that we might want to see over here in Canada, I'm more than open to seeing them. I actually also love sorting through these short films. It's just it's so much fun to look at them all and just see like everyone's. Because they're all so different from each other. And I've never actually done this and sat. I've never watched this many short films. Like, I definitely have watched short films in my life, but not to this extent. And it's a lot of fun. So if there's anything you wanted to throw our way, I'd be so interested.
Yeah, there's a really good crop of short films that are part of this year's festival. So what I can do, I'm very, very happy to reach out to... reach out to a good few of them, like Cindy Stenberg, who made a film last festival called Dreamcatcher. She is super, super talented. She knows how to market herself. She's just done a really successful Indiegogo Kickstarter for a short film, but her animated short film called Sour Love is just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. So I'm happy to kind of send you links, and once they've okayed things, I can give you their direct contact details. So I'm really, really happy to kind of spread the love, so to speak.
That'd be fantastic.
And we've got filmmakers from the UK, Australia, Mexico, the US, and just a few all over, really.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really, really happy to do that. That's absolutely no problem. Because all it is just an extra benefit for those filmmakers out there. And there's films from our original festival that are, some of them are outstanding. So I'd seriously consider some of those as well. So is there kind of a limit on the length of the films, and how does that work?
We're trying to keep it 15 minutes and under. Most of them I have are around 5 minutes, but as long as it's 15 minutes, just because if you have too many that are 20 minutes long, then you can only show so many of them. But I don't know if I'm going to get enough, but I kind of want to do like a little segment where it's 1 minute films. So they're just like powering through a few really, really, really short films. I don't know if I have quite enough for that, but 15 minutes or under.
Yeah, we've got there's a chap that submitted festival called Ryan Corshi. He's submitted two films that are he shot them for TikTok. Think of that as you will, but they're 1 minute. But in terms of what he's achieved in that 1 minute is incredible, absolutely incredible. Like he's got a team of people around him that's smashed something out of the park. But the only thing I don't like about that, this is just a personal preference, is the 9:16 ratio. I'm not a fan for art installations and bus stops and all sorts of other marketing materials. I think that's fine, but for film, it's always, you know, I would say square or widescreen.
Well, that's
but anything tighter than that, it's just a framing issue for me.
I actually have one of those that I have, and maybe it's the same thing. I think there was some 1 minute horror short film competition on TikTok, because one of them I've got is, it's the same. So it's got that same framing where it's only going to take up like a quarter of the screen. But it's pretty good. Like it's Lovecraftian. It's pretty fun.
Oh, that's I have seen some short film content that I've been sent from TikTok that's just absolutely amazing. Some of those people are nuts talented with what they can do on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have difficulty enough framing for trying to frame for Anamorphic. I can't imagine trying to frame for this.
Yeah, it's nuts. That's right. Like it's nuts how they use it like that. With there was this, I don't know, I don't have TikTok or anything like that, but my cousin sends it to me all the time. There was this one block on Reddit that was doing, all they do is give horror movie suggestions, and then these TikTokers would go out and make them, and oh my lord, like it was the 1 minute content put together to do, let's say 90 minutes or 90 films is almost worth watching more than an actual feature. Some of them are just like incredible. I couldn't even believe what these, like not kids or who they're making them, but it's nuts, it's insane. So do you have a lot of submissions like that, like in 9x16?
Originally, when we did the first Isolation Film Festival, I was like, "Yeah, you know, I'm very very welcoming," and I said, "Yeah, submit anything you like." And I then regretted that because I'm a aspect ratio snob. So this is acceptable. This is acceptable. But that, to me, it's, you know, maybe I'm just old. It's old thinking. It's not cinematic. Cinematic to me is big screen, you know, and enjoy it that way. But we had a few, and some of them were absolutely horrendous. But this year, we've got two from Australia that are. I forgot about the aspect ratio.
Wow.
So the content and the direction and the lighting and everything was just fantastic, and the story was great, and I forgot about the length of the film, and it just didn't matter. So, you know, if it's good enough, it'll work. I basically left TikTok because I was watching Michael Chan, who I do host the Hellbound this podcast with normally, and he's on there. He does some crazy stuff, but I used to watch it for that more so than anything else, because, you know, watching something narrative on your phone, you know, I can't, like, when you've got good sound at home and a really nice TV and you're watching Better Call Saul, which looks amazing and sounds amazing, and then you watch something on your phone, it's I don't know,
I know people that watch stuff on their phone, literally, like they're like, oh, I just lay in bed and watch Netflix on my phone, and I think to myself, like, how do you even enjoy that?
Yeah, it's the I think it's there's a level of disrespect for me when you watch something on the smallest screen. Just imagine how many people worked on the audio.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're watching it and you're sat on the toilet, you've got it next to your window, you're watching something like that, and how can you watch a film like that? It just doesn't work.
Well,
and
yeah.
You know?
I had a period where I decided I was a minimalist and I got rid of everything I owned, basically. I have stuff again, but I didn't have a TV for about 2 years. I still don't have a TV. I use a projector. That's what I use instead, which I think is actually...
That's proper.
Yeah.
That's proper. Yeah, that's proper.
But at that point, I had my little 15-inch, maybe smaller than 15-inch laptop. So for 2 years at home, that's how I was watching movies, was like in bed or whatever on that laptop. And I actually... There was films that were fantastic films that I didn't actually like as much as I should have, because I didn't get that cinematic, like what you're talking about. Like, on the small screen, it's just not the same with that audio. You need to see a lot of films on a bigger screen with the good audio, or else you really can't appreciate it. Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's the thing, you see. Like, that TikTok film would have worked on the phone, but, and like, if you watched a fan footage film on your laptop, on your bed, and you've got this big wide room in your peripheral vision, the effect that some films like Host, which I think is a Shudder film, would work amazingly on a laptop especially.
Yeah.
And if you've got a really good set of headphones, you can, you know, and I understand budget and constraints and all of that, but it's the audio. It's the biggest thing, you know, like a lot of people buy a huge TV, OLED or whatever, but never invest in the audio. And for me, it's the same thing. Like, I was just watching an episode of Better Call Saul, and that series is a masterpiece. It's an absolute masterpiece of audio, cinematography, writing especially, and story. And that's the only way we can justify watching, because we used to watch in a small TV in the kitchen and thought, no, we have to go and pay respect because of what I do separately. I do kind of freelance, and for my Joe job, audio is so important, and how can I just kind of leave that behind? So it's a frustration of mine.
You're a little bit snobby though, man, getting disrespecting. It's, you got to think about it now too. You got Disney Plus dropping things like Prey that aren't even getting theatrical releases.
I know, exactly.
I watched
the frustrating thing with that.
I watched
it. You watched it?
Yeah, I put on Disney
Plus. Oh, so jealous.
And so I watched on there. The aspect ratio was wonky because it was on Disney Plus, but I got to see it on the big screen. It was, I can't remember.
What was it?
Huge bars on the top and bottom, and I couldn't fix it because they only offered it in the one way. Like, it... I can't remember what the aspect ratio
was. Wasn't 16 by 9?
No, no.
No, that'll have been anamorphic, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it looked fine, just a lot of black on the screen, but I still got to see it on the big screen in a theater. That's the perk of working at a cinema, is when it's closed at night, you can go in and watch whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah, a friend of mine, he's a IMAX technician, so he flies around Europe fixing IMAX projectors, and that's all he does. And he's done that. He's because he works with digital projectors and film projectors, and like the BFI in London, it's the biggest screen in the UK, and it's a cinema built for one screen, and it's got the digital, the laser, and the 70mm. And he was fixing that, and then he plugged in his own console to it, to the biggest screen in the country, and he said it was just absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, it's that's the advantage, and that's the frustrating thing with Prey. We absolutely loved it. Was the press screenings and the people doing the previewing all got to see it in the cinema? I'm like, I'd pay to go and see it.
Yeah.
I pay for Disney Plus. I'd pay to go and see it because. It looks fantastic. Dan Trachtenberg did 10 Cloverfield Lane, and I absolutely loved that. So, yeah, a little bit frustrating.
Have you seen a lot of behind the scenes on that film, on 10 Cloverfield Lane?
No, I've not, no.
Oh, dude, check it out, dude. It's nuts. Like, some of the stuff he had to do, especially ADRing John Goodman for, like, 45 seconds while his face is turned from the camera, that's, like, afterwards in post. It's crazy stuff in that film. With the digital stuff like Disney Plus doing that, I just read today Halloween Ends is dropping on Peacock the same time it gets a theatrical release. And it's the studios that are crushing this, and there's going to be more digital content, and it's just how it's going now, right? So, I mean, for a lot of moviegoers, you can't just assume like everyone understands these things. So you have a giant populace of huge movie fans that are spending, like, movies are making billions of dollars, who just assume every movie is mixed and made the same. So they're watching it on phone, doesn't make no difference, even though some sound better than some sound worse, right? Because they're actually made for that platform. So, I mean, I blame the whole system. They should never, ever, like, direct to streaming. I tell people, it's like, I was reading this too, and it was hilarious, but like Netflix and all that, and even Disney Plus, there's obvious exceptions like Prey, but that's like our generation straight to VHS, right? Yeah. Just with big names though. I was watching, and I don't want to, like, crap on anything, so I'm not the biggest fan of doing that. I mean, I love action and violence, and Day Shift was good for that. But I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, like, man, Netflix is just dropping this stuff on TV, paying these people ridiculous amounts of money, and then just throwing away Jamie Foxx like that. Like, I just felt I was a little bit shamed, but I don't know. I just felt like it's our generation straight to VHS with the giant names on the cover. It's all it is now, right? So there's digital content.
Yeah.
It's just fast and pretty, and that's why people watch on their cell phones and no one really cares to watch anything. in a big
But it's almost like they're trying to create their own legacy of content, and because that's their biggest problem is they have to pay so much money to get other studios' content. And when you've got streamers that have got their own platforms now, they're going to be able to get that stuff less and less. But yeah, I've got a bit of a love-hate relationship with the whole streaming thing online, and I'm like, I used to love Marvel movies. I've watched pretty much everything, but then for the last, I'd say, couple of years or last year or so, I've just waited for it to come on Disney Plus now, just simply because the interconnected story's not there. And I went to see Thor. The only reason I went to see Thor in the cinema is because a cinema advert I directed and filmed was on 170 cinemas across the UK. And that's the only reason I went to see it. And I was really happy with how my stuff, the Blackmagic camera, looked amazing on the big screen. And I shot anamorphic footage for the advert. And I was just so happy because it got mixed in London. And I was just so proud of it. And then when I watched the film, I thought to myself, I kind of wish I'd watched this at home. And it's got, obviously, the complex audio and all of that. And it's not the same thing at home. But yeah, for me, it's like, yeah, it's a love-hate relationship. Like, there's some great shows that you can only watch on at home, but like Better Call Saul could easily be in the cinema. Some of the standards of storytelling is just through the roof.
I
So yeah,
actually have never seen an episode of that show.
it's a masterclass of filmmaking. Even though it's TV, it's a masterclass of filmmaking.
I
It
watched
really
Breaking
is.
Bad. I love Breaking Bad, but I never
I
watched
think
Breaking Bad.
you'll I'm on the verge of saying this is better.
Oh,
Yeah.
See,
Especially the last thing that I just saw, yeah.
this recording is over. No,
Yeah.
I love that television. When they
So
came
we're
back, before we go on though, from Better Call Saul, when they came back, Cranston and Aaron Paul, was it awesome?
Well, it's not really spoiler, it's set way before with one character.
When
So it's
he's talking to Walton, okay, I won't say anything, but I mean, I almost want to watch the whole TV show just to see that scene.
yeah. Did you see El Camino? Either one
No,
of you seen
I
that?
haven't. No. Do I
Oh,
have to watch that for Better Call Saul?
that. No, but for to kind of end Breaking Bad, it's probably worth watching
Oh.
that. Yeah. So yeah, just to go back to your festival, have you guys thought of any merch, or is it too late, or are you going to do that next year?
With like actual festival, we have like we're gonna do like t-shirts and things like that. We'll just keep it small for the first year, and we'll probably unfold bigger things like that next year, like more merch, more vendors, more fun stuff like that.
Yeah,
It's hard
because
to believe, but
I love the logo. You see that logo on an orange tee would be amazing.
oh my God, really? Did you see the email I sent you today, Miranda?
No, I didn't
I
actually.
put the logo on a black shirt. You don't check your email every 5 minutes. I put the logo on a black shirt. I wrote in the email, I'm like, I made the shirt black because there's no way I'm wearing an orange shirt.
No, I get that. Yeah. No, I think they would look good on orange too, but it's also very like pylon-esque. But yeah, we actually I whipped out that logo really quickly because everything's been so time constraint. But
That
in
was all her.
Sudbury, we have the big nickel. We're home of the biggest nickel in the world. It's our thing. So I tried to make the outside as a nickel, but it's kind of hard to see and with something crawling out of the big nickel.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where that came from.
Oh, I love that.
But
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
that's the thing. If you look at my, original Hellbound Horror Festival logo, it couldn't be simpler. And the second year round, I just have I got it here somewhere. I don't think it's on that. But I kind of I just got someone on Fiverr, a designer on Fiverr too that I'd worked with before, to come up with a real kind of proper logo. And that's just a progression thing, over the next couple of years you'll kind of really find your branding and everything. So
Yeah.
yeah, I'm quite excited to be involved, even in a small way, to be able to kind of help you guys find some content for the
Yeah, well, I
show.
was hoping you could do like a a small introduction. I mean, I was going to say live, but I mean, now that I'm looking at the time, you're going to be late and do some pre-recorded, but just something from the Helldown Film Festival that introduces the short film block and like hype up, you know, make film, let, like I was saying, let these filmmakers know how exciting it is and all the stuff you're talking about, like audio and stuff, just how they should keep going and keep submitting these films. So I was hoping you would send us something like that from the UK so we could.
Yeah, definitely do that. Absolutely no problem. Yeah. If you just send me, if you send me an email of the basics of what you need, then I've got a little small auto cue on my camera stuff now, so I can do all of that. But yeah, if you want me to do that, it's not a problem. That'd be quite fun to do. I can do a I've got the time to do it. I can do a supercut of the submission so far for this year, if you like, as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can do, I can cut all scenes from, like, at least single shots from all the submissions. I think that would work really well.
Yeah, that'd be great, man. Like, yeah, like that's what I wanted, something that to show what you were doing too. And actually, I was going to get you in like the whole, like, scary movie get up, have you come in, like, reading from a book, be the host, like the Crypt Keeper over here.
Well, yeah, I'll come in. I'll come in carrying this.
Dude, I am obsessed with Pinhead lately, and every day something comes up about this thing. So I've been playing Dead by Daylight, and if you see Dougie Smokes on there, I only play the killer. I don't play the other people. But all I do is literally play Pinhead. So I was talking to Nat a couple of days ago, and I was like, I really want to have like a double feature Hellraiser night.
Oh my God, yeah.
And it was just, dude, and I just watched it again. I felt like the first time. Like, I don't think I've watched that film forever. And I was like, this is amazing. So I've just been looking into it and getting, and then it's everywhere, dude. I'm telling you.
Well, that's the beauty of it. When you become obsessed with Hellraiser, you see the people obsessed with the cube and everything. You see their obsession. And then it has this kind of, like, the snake eating its own tail effect.
So when you buy a new car and all you see now is that car, and you think, like, oh, man, everyone owns this car.
Yeah. I started looking at Mercedes eVito, like an electric van, because that's what I want to get to have that. Just so you can open the boot, throw my camera gear in, and just do that. And now I started looking for them. They're everywhere. It's like the Truman Show. It's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Just something about this. A friend of mine called Wave Props, shout out to him. He made this for me, and this is, you can see the different colours. This is screen accurate to the one that's under the little glass jar in the second film.
Awesome.
So he made that. And he made this. I'll show you this as well. He made this when I was in hospital. It was going to be a birthday present, but they actually finished it, and it's to scale. It's screen accurate for the Maltese Falcon.
Who's making these?
So a friend of mine called Wave Props. He's on my I follow him on Instagram. I know him really well, a good friend of mine. So it's got the scratches that Sydney Greenstreet made in the film as well. So he just made this. It's got weight to it as well.
What's it made out of?
It's just it's like 3D printed plastic.
Yeah, that's. So is he like running this out of it? Like, is he doing this full time, or is he work for this company?
No, this is like a side hustle. But he does. He doesn't make them very often. But when he does, it's like, right, got to get on that.
Hang on, wave form? I'm just going to write it.
Wave props.
Wave props. Okay, I just want to write it. Sorry.
So, yeah.
Because I've been looking for stuff like that. I want to start expanding the collection. I want to start with Hellraiser. So I'm going to...
Yeah. Well, I've got, there's bits and bobs throughout here. I've got to show you this. I'm not sure if I showed you this the last time we spoke. But this is from the director's European tour in 2016. This is signed by John Carpenter, where I met him. So this is artwork from his music tour.
Oh, that's awesome.
From his music tour?
So yeah, he performs all the music that he wrote for his films.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Halloween, Big Trouble in Little China, The Fog.
They Live.
And then Prince of Darkness.
Did he
bottom.
Did he score They Live?
Yeah. But yeah, or at least he wrote the main theme. But yeah, there's all manner of bits and bobs here. But yeah, it's the thing, isn't it? It's just extending the collection, really.
And that just goes back to why, like, I was thinking that too when we were talking about doing a horror convention. I was like, is this is this one too many horror conventions? But everywhere you go, there's people like you and that just want this stuff and have stuff like me that has tons of stuff. Miranda, you know what I mean? Like, it's everywhere. Like, it's the whole horror movie experience, dude. Right down, it's the best. You're not gonna beat it.
Yeah, it's that shared experience. Back to that shared experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, actually, it was funny when you were talking about going to see the horror comedies in the theater. My best theater experience was in London, Ontario. We went and saw Freddy versus Jason, and the crowd is like, right from the beginning, understood that you had to pick a side, and then you had to cheer wild. It was amazing. It was like the greatest movie experience of my life. It yeah. may not have been the greatest movie ever made, but it was definitely, it has a huge like hold on me. So I never watch it again, just in case they'll take that away from you. So right now, that's on my top of my list of like my movies I absolutely love, but will never watch again.
Yeah. When I there's I won't repeat them now, but there's two lines of dialogue in that Freddie says to two of the girls, and I'll probably say this tonight, but when I go to bed, my wife's like, "Oh, how did it go? How was your recording?" I'll say, "Fine," and then I'll say one of the quotes, and it'll be really disturbing. But yeah, from that film in particular, there's a couple of lines of really dark comedy. But yeah, I went to see a Q&A with Ken Kersinger and Rob Englund for that. So they presented the film, did a Q&A after. And then that's another thing. When you've had a Q&A or a screening or an introduction, you are so much more involved in the film. Mm-hmm. So people will love it even more, and the excitement and the wearing the T-shirt or whatever. It's super, you know, they're really kind of tuned in. So it's, you've got a captured audience that is already, it's already sold on the event. And then if you kind of have great content, they'll remember that and they'll just continue to build.
Yeah.
That's what I mean too. Even with having this in the Indies, it is nice to build like another, like bring everyone out from that particular community and have them come together and have something to look forward to every year where they actually, you know, there's a lot of people that I see again at the next horror convention, or there are a lot of, it's like a yearly thing for me. That's almost like Christmas, right? So to be able to provide something like that up north is, it's awesome that we're able to do this so fast and make sure it sticks, so next year it could be even bigger and better.
Yeah, exactly.
So how far, Miranda, how far is, for the uneducated British guy that I am, how far is Sudbury from Toronto, for instance?
We're about 4 hours north of Toronto. So we're not that far. I don't know.
So that's like, yeah.
I've met people from the UK, England, and it seems like anything past 20 minutes away is very, very, very far out there. But for us, like, North Bay is our closest city, and it's an hour and a half away. We're pretty far away from everything else. Once you get to Southern Ontario, Toronto area, everything's next to each other. But when you get further up north, like even Douglas is 3 hours away from us. So yeah, we're about 4 hours north of Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Everything That's happens cool. in the south, man. You got to remember Canada, the weather, you don't want to have 300,000 people and 2 feet of snow every day, right? It gets a little bit crazy. So Sudbury being as big as it is up north, like you got to imagine this, I think it's like 300,000 people there. And getting the snowstorms, traffic, like it's hard to, everyone lives down south or in BC, way out on the west coast.
Yeah, which, yeah, yeah, Vancouver's like a 7 day drive if you're just driving by yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, big country. Wow. So you guys have proper snowstorms where we have snowstorms and it's nothing really.
Oh yeah, dude. Like, yeah. It gets crazy over here. Like we dread the winter. Like I sometimes sit here in July or August, like even about 3 days ago, and I just stare out the window because I'm like, fuck, it's going to be winter in like 2 months, and that sucks. And it sucks. Like I would not be throwing on this convention in the winter, that's for sure. It's hard to get anywhere. We literally get like 2-3 feet of snow. Like, it's not an exaggeration. Sometimes it's crazy. Not in one falling, mind you, but it piles up, and we do get, you know, huge amounts of snow all the time. It's cold, minus 30 degrees Celsius, dude. It's horrible.
Well, and we're talking about Canadian weather right now. I think we're so adaptable here. Like, where we are in Sudbury, and I'm sure it's basically the same in Sault Ste. Marie, in the summer we'll get up to plus 45 degrees with the Humidex sometimes, and then in the winter we'll go down to minus 45 with the with the wind chill. So we have like 100-degree difference within our years. Like, not last year, but the 3 years previous in Sudbury, we hit minus 50 degrees Celsius, which is bonkers. But yeah, our summers are generally really nice here, though.
Summer's nice.
Wow. Is that a reason? What was the reason for the September dates for this instead of, say, closer to Halloween?
So,
was there another available slot? Yeah, there were another couple events planned that month, and that was the slot actually I was kind of given. It was the best time. There was going to be a big movie crowd in Sudbury already because of what else was going on. And I was like, well, we might as well take advantage of it.
Yeah, and when Douglas was first reaching out to us, he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to board members in our ED, and he hadn't quite dipped his toes into a horror convention. It was supposed to be more of kind of like a comic booky kind of nerd con kind of thing. That's what they were calling it. I think it's just because he was working with people who didn't understand that kind of crowd. But then once we started talking, it went from being like this kind of, I don't know, nerd con thing to being like, we are doing a horror convention and that's what's happening. So we have.
Yeah, it's that realization. It's that realization when you've got Pandora's box and you're just about to open it. And what you're going to let yourselves in for.
Exactly.
Well, the average age on the board is significant. Like, it's like 60. Miranda's young. I'm younger. So everything was kind of family friendly. And so I was like, hey, we should, if we're going to do this video game, we should have some Resident Evil voice actors. And right away, it's like, oh, what's that? It's a video game. Oh, it's for kids. Yeah, no, it is, but... Maybe not like 5-year-olds are playing Resident Evil and the adults play it. I still play. So I like, they didn't understand a lot of the culture and a lot of events like that. So I was working towards that. So the first email, they're like, we're going to introduce you to Miranda. And I was like, okay, it's, another board-esque type of member. So I was like, I'm going to keep it family friendly. Just, try and help, because it's a nonprofit. Everything they do goes to paying the bills, keep on the lights, showing movies, and they're showing stuff that like no one else is. So I was like, yeah, no, I'll keep it family friendly and help out. So the first email I sent her, I'm like, hey, we're going to have a bouncy castle and we're going to have like face painting. It's going to be fantastic. And then she just like kind of messages me back. And then I finally meet her. And I'm like, oh, you're significantly younger than I thought you were. I had no idea that you liked horror movies and that we can take this turn. And then I just looked at her and I was like, that first email must have threw you off completely. Let's throw a child's birthday party. Because we're just trying to keep it family friendly, and it wasn't that. That's what we were.
Yeah, because you were testing the fences at that point.
Yeah.
And
then as soon as she came on, everything changed, and I just kind of sunk my claws, and I was like, awesome, because like this is exactly where I wanted this to go. So.
Well, keep the face painting and just give everyone Pinhead. You just paint on Pinhead.
Actually, we have Rob. I'm horrible with names. Rob Shadow.
Yeah.
Shadow. Yeah, he's from Sudbury. He does zombie portraits. He's a cool guy, man. I think he has like the largest collection of zombie art portraits like in the world. And this guy's like, he literally draws everything. And he's done stuff for The Walking Dead and stuff. And he's going to be one of the vendors. So we're hoping that like he can, with the young kids, turn some of them into zombies and then we can get their face painted. So it's going to be fun for the kids. Like, it's still there. It's Halloween, right? We're going to have like a creature contest, like for the cosplay for adults, cosplay for kids. The first year, I'm expecting it to be a little bit on the slower side of things because people didn't have a lot of time to prepare. But by next year, cosplay is like a huge part of these conventions, right? And I love seeing the costumes. So we want the kids to come out for sure. And it's like I was talking to someone about, like, when does Halloween season start, really, right?
I would say it's all year round. But it's, I would say, end of August, really, the build. So I think the timing of what you're doing is a really nice early sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then it leads up to, because, costs of, higher, costume hire, whatever, just start to go up. So I think it's definitely the beginning of September or possibly August. For me, I feel it now because of this festival that I run. It's like it's all encompassing, so it starts as soon as I send that, put that first teaser trailer out for the whole thing. Yeah, I absolutely love it from thinking about what I'm going to watch on Halloween to where I'm going to be, what I'm going to drink on Halloween, that kind of thing, you know, because I know the first thing that's going to be playing is Fright Night, and everything else is based around that, you know, so that first Fright Night, everything else can, you know, is extra padding.
Yeah, and with it being really the middle of September, it's like, that's when a lot of kids get their costumes or they're making them, right? And when I was in, like, I used to have, like, elaborate costumes when I was younger. Like, I mean, like movie perfect Ninja Turtle costumes. And we'd have, like, four friends, or, like, then it would be, like, movie perfect killer costume. Like, it was awesome. And the only people, like, you only really wear it that one time, and or the day before you get to wear it to school or something. So it's nice to, like, I also am the same as you, man. Like, at the end of August, it's like, hey, nothing but scary stuff.
Yeah.
Just stick to the, let's keep the holiday spirit going. So,
Miranda, how do you feel about Halloween? Is it your favorite kind of time of the year? For me, it's my Christmas. That's why I say my wife understands that.
Yeah.
And it's more important to Christmas than me. It's when I really make the effort with the decorations and all of that.
Yeah.
So what do you think, when do you think Halloween starts?
I am definitely one of those people where it's Halloween year-round. I currently have my nieces and nephews staying with me for a while, and they're like, Auntie, your house is so creepy. And I've actually had to take down some of my decor for my partner's daughter because it actually, like, scared her. I didn't realize that she wasn't using my bathroom for a few months because, like, my decor in there freaked her out so much. Yeah. Like, I'm definitely going hard. September 1st, I'm putting up all my decorations outside. It's just, I've procrastinated it in previous years. I've bought my own house, and I haven't really been able to decorate as much as I want, so I've accumulated all the stuff. So, yeah, but I am Halloween year-round kind of spooky house, but officially September 1st is when, like, Halloween season.
Yeah, that's awesome. I live on an army base, but they've sold a third of the houses to people that aren't part of the army. So it actually feels like it's its own community. There's a fenced area where all the weaponry is and that kind of thing. And then there's, so on most streets you've got either army officers, police officers, or solicitors, that kind of thing. And it seems to be that Halloween is when everyone turns to a freak on this area, which is fantastic because I absolutely love it. So this street actually looks like Haddonfield from Halloween. So I've got this grand idea at one point of shooting something during Halloween for a film on this street, but it's kind of, you know, long in gestation, so that'll happen at some point. But yeah, I have, like, glow-in-the-dark skeletons that I try and do kind of demented things with my decorations to kind of freak people out. Like I hang the skeleton, the neon skeleton, from the tree, that kind of thing, you know. So it's not just stuck on somewhere. Yeah. It's trying to twist. It's really trying to twist it. Even my little dog. No, go ahead.
Oh no! You go on. I'll interrupt you in a minute.
So even my little dog, I've got this little witch's hat I put on her. She hates it, but yeah, she absolutely hates it. But yeah, I try and do as much as I can. And, like, very similar to yourself, we bought this house a few years ago, and we were very optimistic of having it finished. We gutted the entire house. We, you know, did so much work on it. And we discovered things about this house. We were kind of a bit horror-based, like, there's a cabinet behind where the bed is upstairs. And I asked my next door neighbor, who was part of, her husband was part of the army. Oh yeah, that's where all the soldiers would keep all their weapons. So there's things built into the house for the soldiers. So it's very, very unusual. But yeah, I try and have as much fun as possible during Halloween. I try and shoot stuff, but the festival takes over everything for me. And I lose a lot of that, you know, community passion and love for it a little bit because of I'm just doing far too much work. And then I've got to weigh up whether I'm going to do it again in 2 years. And it just depends on sponsorship or involvement of other people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I do all the marketing and everything. Like, I literally do everything. And 2 hours every day is far too much for an extra thing that doesn't pay anything. So it's pulls you all different directions, you know.
Yeah, definitely sounds like a passion project, and it's hard. It's hard to, when you're so invested in doing something that is so horror Halloween based, and then there's always so much going on in like October anyways, Halloween wise, and then trying to make that time for yourself to do your own stuff, that's hard.
Yeah. What I've not mentioned this to anyone online or anything, so this is a little bit of a possible trade secret, but next year I might be in Canada for Halloween to do some interviews with some filmmakers and stuff, so it's not gonna be a festival next year, but I'm gonna have a bit of a jolly and do some stuff in Canada next year, so
whereabouts?
That should be fun. All over. I'm gonna go anywhere and everywhere, probably Toronto based mainly, but anywhere around there, Richmond, that kind of thing.
Great.
Nice. Like, have you been here before?
Never.
And you picked Toronto?
Well, I think that's where people I know live, so.
Jeez.
I'm open mind. I went to Russia on my own 12 years ago, so I'll do anything and everything in terms of having a good time and meeting people and having fun, so yeah. If it's something that you're doing next year, if you're doing this next year, I might, you know, possibly be involved in person if that's of interest.
Yeah, of course, dude. Yeah. When you coming? Yeah, are you doing it all planned out, or are you just working on it?
No, it's pretty much gonna happen in October or possibly September, October, so nothing's plotted out. Flights haven't been booked or anything yet, but it's definitely gonna happen.
You bringing the wife?
Absolutely gonna. Probably, yeah. But when she realizes it's gonna be a work thing as well as fun, she might not want to do it, so I don't know yet.
That's great. I think you'll have lots of
fun. We'll see. Yeah. I probably won't be prepared for the weather.
October's not too bad.
Yeah, October's.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. That's good.
Especially if you're down south, it's not that bad. Not yet. November 1st, that's when it'll definitely take a turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like 4 hours. 4 hours isn't too bad for me, because 4 hours for me now is I could drive to the capital of Wales, Cardiff, and that's about 4 hours.
Like all those memes in Halloween where it's like the kid's Spider-Man and it's like, oh, I'm Spider-Man for Halloween, he just has a snowsuit on. There's a lot of Halloweens like that in Canada.
Yeah.
Like it gets cold near the end, but like you're probably looking at, I don't know, like between 5 and 15 degrees Celsius in October.
Yeah.
It can drop though, it gets cold.
Well, I don't know about you two, but I run hot anyway. My general temperature is there.
Yeah.
So like when before, like 2 hours before we were due to meet, I had one beer, had one bottle of Corona, and I just passed out because my heat just elevated and just zonked out. So.
No, I had to chase my dog down for a second. So before you got on, I was just in here sweating. I was just like, I run hot constantly. I hate doing anything, man. I just run hot constantly. Whenever I have to like meet someone or do an interview, I'm like, oh, are you nervous? No, this is just normal Doug.
Yeah, I've got this. I'll show you this. I got this floor fan from a warehouse. I bought this online. It's because I get too hot when I'm working, so I use this.
Yeah, that's what I have going on right here.
Because it's just like I'm sweating now. It's what 10 past 11 at night, and I'm just roasting.
I was hoping
because of all the lights.
I had to set it up with the mic, but I had to have my fan too, just like pointed right up. I had to make sure it wasn't hitting the microphone.
Yeah, absolutely. So is there anything that I can help put out on social media that'll help you? Have you got any posts planned and that kind of thing?
Doug?
When does this come out? Is this this week or next? This is next
This'll be Wednesday next week. So what's that? The 8th, something like that? So the 8th?
I think we're planning on announcing almost everything at that point. I think so, yeah. So we could potentially send you something your way. I know Doug has put together a bunch of really great social media posts for us, because we're slowly just putting out the vendors, the guests, the films we're showing and all of that. So we probably will have something to send your way.
Are you, do you kind of use any collaborators that you kind of, you know, when you tag people in your social media on Instagram, you can invite to be a, is it
I
collaborator?
just saw that feature. I don't know if that's new, but I just saw it this week. I haven't noticed that before, but
That's a really, really useful feature because I don't know if you've seen it. You've seen Douglas, the artwork I've put out for people's films. So what I've done is each time I've put one of those posts out, I've invited the actual filmmaker to be a collaborator, and then basically it posts exactly the same post on their account, but it's a joint post. So if you can get someone that's popular to add that to their account, it those numbers, those likes will be on your account as well because it's exactly the same post. It's not like a copy.
Oh, I
So
didn't
it's
even
a
know
really
you could do that.
learn something new.
yeah, it's a really useful tool. So one of the filmmakers that submitted a film called Long Pig, he just does kind of music video stuff and really kind of high end stuff through through cinematography. And he posted it. He said, "I can't post it for long." He posted it for a week. He deleted it off his account because we'd agreed on that. And then those likes and everything from all the people that followed him started to, you know, all those likes stayed on the post on my account. So it's a really powerful tool if you can send it to people that have got a lot more followers and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. We start doing the guest announcements, they can start pumping this up for us too. So yeah, like I said with Rebecca Kennedy and her introducing her film, I definitely would like to get that out more. Now that you're getting this collab thing, I was thinking that.
Yeah, well,
Yeah, super
I'll
useful.
definitely use that function because all of our social media is brand new. Like within the last week, we've made everything. So it's something where when we were coming up with this, we were almost it, there was kind of a bit of hesitation. Like, should we even do it this year? Should we wait till next? But we figure we'll do what we can this year, which has been it's great what we've put together. And so for next year, we can plan even bigger and better, and we'll have that following by that point. And we have these social medias where we can put out things
Absolutely.
throughout the year and remind people that something's coming up. So you always have to start small. Social media is just how it is.
Oh, absolutely. Like when I started my own the Isolation Film Festival and the Hellbound Festival, once you have that first the first version in, it's like you just keep building on top. It's like the foundation of everything. I don't know if either of you have ever created DVD menus before, you know, like DVD Studio Pro or anything like that. You ever built
No.
menus?
Yeah, for
And the
like
way.
my yeah, for fun though, like my own burning software.
And you know, like you have to make the links to go back, and when the video element finishes, you go back. Social media and all those accounts are exactly that. It's just mapping everything and having this huge thing, you know. So like Linktree's your friend if you've not used it. It's an amazing thing that's part of Instagram, and it just everything, all the analytics are there and everything, so it's super useful. And I'm trying to add to it all the time, but then when you realize, oh, I can do this great idea, but this great idea takes 12 hours of your week up, it's like, oh, you know.
That's the thing with us too. Like, I'll feel like there's days I just send Marin the stuff that's so overwhelming because I'm like, for the next 4 hours, I'm just going to sit here and that's all I'm going to do. So I don't have to do this anymore in the coming time that I have because, like, you're right, it just starts to consume you.
Yeah, you'll have a there'll be like a melancholy or something after the event's finished though. You'll kind of you'll miss the energy of it. But then some elements you're like, yeah, thank God that's over.
It's the same thing with making films, man. You're doing it and you're getting ready to do it, then you do it and it's all great, and then it's over and you're kind of just like, oh man. Like, it was stressful, but I miss it completely. Like, it's the same thing. You just get this feeling that, I don't know, I start getting restless, like my days aren't filled as much as they should be sometimes when I'm not working on stuff. So it's nice to have that. But you're right though, things just start taking over real quick.
Are you working on any kind of short films recently or this year at all?
I was going to talk to you. So actually, no, I had a plan though. So one of the events we did for Sudbury, the Indie Cinema, was a garage sale. And they had like this 50s hair curler seat, man. It had like the cigarette ashtrays in the side. It was awesome. So I was like, I'm taking this thing because I'm going to make a sci-fi body horror-esque film with this. And about virtual, I'm really big in virtual reality lately. So I was like, I'm going to make some kind of like virtual reality short. And then I started doing this. And now it's just what I do. So I was definitely thinking about getting something done. But with this, and we're ramping up for next year for the next feature film. So it's just kind of constant, dude. Like I would love to take time to do something, but I don't even think I'm going to get around to it.
This has been fantastic. I'm going to go and watch the end of Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch a movie too.
You've got me interested.
For anything else, it's the photography, the way it's filmed, the writing and storytelling is masterful. Absolutely.
You don't have time. You have to get this event going.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. And Douglas, I love the T-shirt, man. I love the T-shirt.
35-year anniversary, dude.
Yeah. That's awesome, yeah. Oh, that's such a violent film. And it probably has one of the best explosions in any cinema, in any film. You know, the petrol station.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when he comes walking out. I know, this is my little RoboCop table. I have all my RoboCop stuff here. It's my favorite film. When you asked me what got me into horror movies too, that was one of the films my brother showed me where I was just like, that toxic guy came out. And I remember my cousins running right over the room. So I was like, that was like the real first horrific experience I've had with film was RoboCop. But yeah, I watched that film probably 3-4 times a year. Dude, I love it.
Yeah. I realized, like, I think October, Halloween last year, that my wife is the perfect person for me because she told me her favorite horror film is Lost Boys. And randomly, like a few weeks later, I think a few weeks after we met, and she knew I love films, oh, have you got a copy of RoboCop? Can we watch RoboCop? I was like, yeah, you're the girl for me.
Yeah. Do you want to marry me? I was going to say, yeah, that's like a once in a lifetime situation. Like it's weird how much people can bond over movies. It's like my partner's like, she's Russian, so she doesn't have the biggest knowledge of American movies. But then sometimes she'll just be like, hey, oh, she's like, oh, when I was, this is what also got me in the Hellraiser thing. She's like, when I was in Russia, they used to have a TV with a VHS and someone would put it in a room and charge like 5 rubles to come in and watch this film. And she was like, that was one of the first movies I watched. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, I was really young. I don't remember it. And then I was watching it with her and she's just like, I don't remember all the sex stuff, but I really like this movie. And I was like, this is why we are together.
Yeah. Well, there's before we go, there's a scene in that where I can't remember the designer of RoboCop, what he's called, but he's got, I think, 2 prostitutes between him and he's snorting cocaine off them.
Yeah, yeah.
And the funny thing about that, Miranda, is I remember that when I was a child. It just stuck with me. I'm like, what is this? What's going on? I don't understand.
You don't get it. And then when you're older, you're like, oh, should I have seen that?
Yeah.
That's happened to me one too many times. Whenever I watch a movie when I'm older, I'm just like, I watched Copycat from 95 yesterday with Sigourney Weaver, and I was just like, why was I watching this when I was 10?
What? Yeah.
Who's responsible for raising me?
Yeah,
it's crazy how films stick with you, absolutely. But yeah, this has been great, and yeah, anything you want me to post, just let me know. I'm really happy to help you guys out.
Thanks.
Yeah, we appreciate it, man. We'll definitely be.
Nice meeting you. I appreciate this.
See you later. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.